All right, let's open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes 11. Ecclesiastes 11. And I want everybody to open your Bible to this. I want you to read along with me. It's a very important message. Verse 7, Ecclesiastes 11, 7. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow, the word is anger, from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now this is a word to all of us, especially to those who are young. The wisest thing, above everything else, the wisest thing we can do with our lives, especially beginning in our youth, is to prepare for the day when we shall die and meet God in judgment. That's the wisest thing you can do. The wisest thing. To do so, we must seek the sweet light and the pleasant sun. There is a light and there is a sun that men seek. The first thing that we have here is a word to wake us up to our need. He says in verse 7, truly the light is sweet. And a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. The word light here and the sun here are put for natural life and natural light. For a good life. Many days and a good life. That is sweet. That is pleasant. Everybody likes to walk in the sunshine. We don't like to be in a storm. We don't want to be in a raging waves, in a violent storm. We want to be where there's sweet light and it is pleasant to behold the sun. That's where we want to be. You graduate from high school and you think about you got your whole life ahead of you. And the reason we get an education and the reason that we try to get a good job is because we want to get a nice house. We want to get good food. We want to have some security. And we want to do that because light is sweet and it's pleasant to walk in the sun. We don't want to have a life of hardship and a life of trouble and a life of just barely able to get by. Everybody wants that sweet light and that pleasant sunshine. That's the case with everybody. And we go after these things with great zeal. When you think about it, and you think of something in your life that is very important to you right now, and you've gone after it, and you've tried to work at it, and you've gone at it hard and heavy with everything you've got, because you want to achieve it, because you want it to happen, you want to see it come to pass, or you think it's going to be the best thing for you, for your family. It's going to be security. It's going to be best for you, and you want that as opposed to darkness and evil and things that be bad. You want what's best. But when is the last time you and I went after spiritual things with that same kind of zeal and that same kind of dedication and that same kind of fervency? Honestly, when is it that we look to making sure we teach our children on a daily basis and we promote the gospel and we speak to folks right by us that we walk by every day at work and in our community and what have you, with the zeal that they need to know Christ and we need to know Christ, and this is the most important thing there is in this earth, and yet we act like walking in natural sunshine and natural goodness and having just a naturally good life, that's the most important thing. It's not. That's not the most important thing. Light is important. It's vital. You got to have light to have life. And you got to have life to have light. They're both vital. Light is the first thing God created when He created the world. The eye to behold light is one of the first members that's formed in a baby in the womb. So light's important. Life is important. But what He's talking about here is He's talking about natural light and natural sunshine. Yeah, these things are sweet. These things are pleasant. There's no disputing that truth. But there's something every one of us must remember. After the natural light, after the natural light, the life, comes darkness and death. And that'll come soon. Look at verse 8. But if a man live many years, see how he's talking about light here being life, living many years, and rejoice in them all. He's got a good life. It's been full of sunshine. Yet, let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Notice this key word here. If. He says, if a man live many years, and if a man rejoice in them all. Few live many years, and fewer rejoice in them all. You know, the Scripture says, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. You hold your hand up, you look at those four fingers right there, that's a handbreadth. And God's made our lives as short as those four fingers are wide. Now that's short. And when you're young, you look out ahead of you at all the days you think you have, and you say, well, that doesn't really mean much to me. And you think time drags by because there's so many things that you want to see happen that you're waiting on, and you have to wait for them to happen, and so it seems like life's just dragging by. But you take the summer vacation in between your school classes. Here you are in summer vacation. Now you want time to drag by. Now you don't want time to fly by. You want time to drag by. And you blink your eye and the vacation's over and it's time to go back to school. Well, your life's that summer break. And in a blink of eye, it's going to be over. But that's not the end. Just because life ends, that's not the end. He says here, there's some darkness to come. There's some darkness to come. Let's suppose you do have a long life and you have some great ease in this life. Don't let the thought of that lull you into a false sense of security. There's been some folks who have lived many years. There's been some folks who say through the first 30 or 40 years of their life, they had relative ease in their life. And therefore, they think it's going to always be this way. It's going to always be this way. Yet, even in these best days, God says, remember the darkness. Remember the darkness. There's days of darkness that shall come. Now, look here in verse 8. There's no if in this second statement. It says, verse 8, for they shall be. They shall be. And this is certainly true for the man that only seeks natural light and natural life. He shall see darkness. But we're all going to see some darkness. We shall, they shall be these days of darkness. And notice, they shall be many. The days of our life and the good times may not be many. He said if, but the days of darkness shall be many. They shall be many. He describes it in the next chapter as our, first of all, as our bodies growing old. he talks about there, the keepers of the house shall tremble. You see that old man, and his hands are shaking, and his head's wobbling, and he can't keep his hands controlled? That's the keepers of the house trembling. You see a man who, it says, strong men shall bow themselves. You take a man, a young man, somebody that's strong, and he's able to lift heavy weight, and he's able to lift large objects and work strong, and he's just strong as a bull. And he gets old, and he can't even lift up his own body. He can't even lift his upper body and raise it up straight. It says, the grinder shall cease. The teeth shall be few. This is that darkness he's talking about that's coming. The windows be darkened. The eyes are going to grow dim. Now, if you spend your life living for your carnal senses, for these earthly bodies, enjoying the things that you can touch and taste and hear and smell and see, what are you going to have when all these things are darkened and you face the days of darkness? What joy will you have then? Where will your joy be then? Some of you here, you're not 20 years old. And I know people who have been in the shape that's described here since they were in their 60s, and now they're in their 90s. They've been in that shape for 30, 40 years. They've been in that shape longer than you've been alive. Sometimes a man's life is half light and sunshine and half days of darkness. And sometimes it's more days of darkness than it is light and sunshine. He says, remember that. Remember that. He's turning us from this flesh. He's turning us from this life, from the things that you and I naturally seek, which is only the natural. That's all we ever seek. And then there's another kind of darkness. There's another kind of darkness. There's going to be a day when our bodies, the light's going to go out of our bodies, and our bodies are going to go in the grave. And have you ever thought about this? For most of us, unless Christ returns soon after our bodies are laid in the grave. For most of us, our bodies are going to be in the darkness of death in the grave longer than they were in the light on the top side of this earth. A lot longer. And then there's a darkness of the end of this world. The Scripture speaks about a time coming whenever the sun's going to be darkened. God's holding it there now and giving it the light. But He says, the sun's going to be darkened. The moon's going to become as blood. The stars are going to fall from the sky. He said the islands, you think of those little islands? We live on an island. We're talking about North America, South America, Europe, Asia, Australia, the islands, and every other little island in between, they're going to be shaken out of their place. And the heavens are going to be rolled back like a scroll. He describes it in Hebrews as you taking a cloth and you just fold it up like a vesture, like your clothing at the end of the day, and discard it. That's what's going to happen with this world right here, that heavens that we see, that outer space. And then there's another darkness that's described in Scripture, outer darkness. That's where if a man meets God without Christ, he'll be cast out into outer darkness. We watched Gravity the other night. And that's not the outer darkness. That's just space. That's the second heaven. That's not outer darkness. But I was watching that movie, and here she is floating around out there in space. And I thought, man, how awful that would be to float and not be able to go where you wanted to go and do what you wanted to do. You're just floating. And then to think, if all there was darkness. I've been in darkness. We used to go in this cave down in Middle Tennessee, and you get back in there and you turn a light out and it's dark. I mean, you can't see anything. And that picture there of that movie, that's not anything what outer darkness. Outer darkness is going to be a terrible place. I don't know what it'll be, but it's going to be horrible. But that just made me think of outer darkness. Darkness, he says, consider this now. If a man live many days, many years, and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. all that cometh is vanity. What he's saying is, everything that's going to come for your flesh and my flesh, he's saying for this life, everything we accumulate in it, even for this world, the heavens and the universe and this world, it's all coming to nothing. It's all coming to darkness. This is not what it's about. This is not, this, God didn't create this for permanence. This is not, this was created as a stage for us to learn something. That's all this was for. And it's coming to an end, every bit of it. And if you live your life here thinking that this is all there is, and so you live your life searching and looking to just feed these senses, they're going to be darkened one day. If you're looking just to accumulate your stuff in this life, to have a good life, that life's going to come to darkness one day. And if you think there's some kind of stability in this world, it's coming to darkness one day. So there's nothing about where we are right now that has any stability, any lasting sustenance to it whatsoever. It's coming to dark. It's vanity. It's going to end in nothingness is what it's going to end in. Well, he gives us a word here. Gives us a word here. The Holy Spirit answers an objection that he knows the young man's going to make. Now you think about this, and I read this and I thought, that's just the objection I would have made when I was a young man. Just the same exact objection. Young man hears this warning, and his answer is this. Well, if that's the case, then I'm going to rejoice while I can. I'm going to let my heart cheer me. I'm going to walk in the ways of my heart. I'm going to walk in the sight of my eyes. I'm going to live it up while I can. A man will say, my will shall be my only law, whether it's God's will or not, I'm going to just enjoy the time I have. The very fact that this will be the answer of your own heart to what I just spoke about is evidence enough that your way is wrong and my way is wrong. The fact that that would be the thought that would enter the heart lets you know, by nature, you are a bumbling fool. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. A young man contacted me 3 years ago, and he had some questions. He was raised in works religion, and his parents wouldn't even let him look into Christianity at all. And this man had some questions, this young boy. And I started corresponding with him, and I spent a lot of hours writing to him and trying to show him things. And he just broke off contact. Well, last week he contacted me again, and he told me that, reminded me who he was, and said that the reason he broke contact was he just decided that he was going to follow no religion but his own conscience. But now he's met some girl, and she's religious, and so he's back asking questions. And I told him, I wrote him, and I said, I did this praying God opened his eyes, but I wrote him back, and I said, listen, God didn't come to call the righteous, he came to call sinners. Go find out what that means. Those are Christ's words. And I said, you sound as lost as you did when I talked to you the first time. And I said, why don't you follow your idol God? Let him give you your answers. Follow your conscience. The man who's got his conscience is his only guide, he's got a fool for a guide. Especially the natural mind. So the Holy Spirit of God answers that objection, and he does so with a bit of irony. He says, verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Go ahead. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. But know this, that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. The man who desires to live his life seeking only to gratify the lust of his flesh, he may find out that God will give him the desires of his flesh. And he may have a good life, and he may have an easy life. But God's going to turn his glory into shame. He will turn that glory into shame. A man's given a lot of advantages, and instead of using those advantages to seek God, he uses them for his own flesh. For his own interest, for his own fleshly pursuits, just for the here and now. And so, he goes through life and God gives him more. God lets him have more. And he boasts about
how much he's done and how much he's accomplished and how much he's gained and how far he's come, when God's the only one that gives. He wouldn't have anything if God hadn't given it. But even in this life, and especially in the life to come, God says, I'll turn that glory into shame. He said in Hosea 4:7, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. But here's the greatest check against all this vain idea and this vain thought that I'll just live it up while I have a chance. We're coming into judgment. We're going to meet God in judgment. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. There's a judgment to come for everyone. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men. Two things are appointed unto men. Number one, it's appointed unto men once to die. And number two, after this, the judgment. Everybody's going to stand before God. Have you ever stood before an earthly judge? It's not the most pleasant thing in the world. It's scary to stand before an earthly judge. That earthly judge has no authority and no power in comparison with God Almighty. Can you think right now, honestly, do you think you who believe Christ and rest in Christ and have a good hope of everlasting life because of the righteousness of Christ, do you really want to stand before God in judgment? I don't even like the thought of it. And I've got a good hope in Christ. I don't have a terror of judgment because of what Christ has done for me, but I don't take it lightly. You're going to stand before God. Before God. You put it out of your mind, you can bury your head in the sand, but we're going to face God in judgment. And if you put these things out of your mind, and you go on living only for yourself, and you're treasuring up, this is what you're doing, this is what Scripture says, you're treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath, against that the day of the wrath of the Lamb. What does that mean? You know how people heap up treasures for themselves, and they're going to use them for a rainy day. I'm going to have all this saved up, so when I get into bad times, I'll have all this saved up just for that day. Well, while you're doing that and while you're seeking everything in this life and seeking everything for self and just living like this is it, it's the same as just heaping up those treasures, heaping up those treasures, heaping up those treasures, doing it for that day when you stand before God. And everything you accomplished, everything you accumulated in this life, everything that this world praised you for, God's going to say, I'm going to damn you for those things. Because you could have been seeking me, and you were seeking those things instead. There, Scripture says there'll be a witness against us. All those things will be a witness against us. That's going to be so when you meet God outside of Christ. God shall judge you for all the carnal and sensual pleasures that you sold your soul to enjoy in this life. Well, preacher, you take away my joy. I got time to think on these things. I got time to think on these things later on. I know a man. I've been enjoying having some of the sweetest times with my son lately, especially at night, talking about the Scriptures, and have enjoyed hearing things he said, and I've enjoyed it. And I know a man who did that same thing when he was his age. I know a man who followed his father. His father preached the gospel, and he followed his father every step his father made. Heard him preach the gospel, knew the gospel in his head, and could tell you everything about it. And as that man grew older, he grew harder and he grew harder. And every time his father would speak to him about the gospel, he would say, you just want to take away my joy. I got plenty of time to think about those things. Well, now that man's father has gone to be with the Lord. And that man is the same age his father was when he was trying to talk to him about these things. And right now, just like it's always been, when somebody will try to talk to that man about the gospel, you know what he says? Why do you want to take away my joy? I got plenty of time to worry about those things. He's sick. He's going to die. He don't have many days left on this earth. And he's still using that same lame excuse for not seeking God. I wonder how many times you're going to hear that word over and over for eternity in hell. I got plenty of time. Yeah, you got plenty of time now. You going to repeat that man's mistakes? You going to keep on saying, I got plenty of time. I got plenty of time.
Well, hear this. This is the Holy Spirit. He gives us a word that we need to heed today. And if He makes it effectual, we'll heed it today. Listen to what He says in verse 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart. He says here, the word sorrow is anger. Therefore, remove anger from your heart. When you hear this, especially young sinners, all sinners think this when they hear this message, but especially young sinners, they hear this, and what they hear in this message is, you're taking away from me what I hold most dear. You're taking away the sensual. You're taking away the carnal. You're taking away the earthy. You're taking away these things that are the only things I can see and hear, and the things I love and things I want to pursue. That's what you're taking away from me. And so, in your pride, you get angry about it. And your heart boils over. And you say, I don't want to hear that. I wish he'd quit talking to me about that. All he talks about is sin. All he talks about is judgment. All he talks about is having to face God. I wish he'd just talk about it. So can't you just tell us how to live in this life and enjoy it? And God says here, you put that away. That's what he's saying. You remove that from your thoughts. You take that angry heart and all those evil thoughts and remove it away. Put it away. Not only that, he says this in verse 10, put away evil from your flesh. It means turn from your flesh. You know this, if you don't know Christ, if you don't believe on Christ, the only thing you enjoy in this life are fleshly things. That's the only thing you enjoy in this life. The only thing that you have any perception of or any idea about or any pursuit of are fleshly things. That's it. God says, put that away too. The pursuit of it, living in it, whether it's moral or immoral, whether it's godly or ungodly, he says, if it's done in your flesh, turn away from it. Leave it alone. Those are two commands that are the same command. He's saying, repent. That's what he's saying. Repent. Turn from you. And then look, here's why. Verse 10 says, for childhood and youth are vanity. They're vanity. We're sinners by conception. And so everything that we think, everything we do, everything that we presently hold dear is vanity. And all our thoughts, our excuses of why, you know, we're going to put this off to a more convenient season. You'd be like that man, he never found a convenient season. And there won't ever be a convenient season. There's nothing convenient about your flesh dying. There's nothing convenient about your flesh being mortified and put down and you being told that it's worthless and a stinking dead thing that's not going to profit you anything. There's nothing convenient about that. And we're going to have to face it sooner or later. Childhood and youth, along with all the things that you naturally hold dear, is uncertain, it's unsatisfying, and it shall not last. Just like I told you, this whole world's vanity. I bought flowers for Melinda last week. Was it last week? When did I buy those flowers? Yeah. Sunday. I bought her flowers Sunday. And already, they're withering. And that's what the Scripture says about us. It says, the voice said, cry. Christ told John the Baptist, cry. Preach. What? All flesh is grass. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. You see, if God takes His Spirit from you, you're withered. If God just removes His sustaining power from you and me, we're withered. Because He upholds all things by the word of His power, even you and me. The very one we cuss, the very one that we make our excuses not to seek after. He says here, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. But now listen to this. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. There is a God. And there is a place where God abides. It's called New Jerusalem. It's called Heavenly Mount Zion. It's called God's throne. It's where Christ sits at the right hand of God. And it obviously is a place, because
Like I told you the other day, Stephen, when he was dying, God rolled the heavens back like a scroll, and he saw him there. He saw him there. And the Scripture says in that day, when the heavens are rolled back like a scroll, men that don't have Christ are going to run into the dens, into the caves and the mountains, and they're going to beg the mountains, fall on me and hide me from the face of the Lamb. So then the Holy Spirit gives us this most important command. And I pray you make this effectual in our heart. Look at verse 1. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shouldst say, I have no pleasure in them. Now he begun by saying, truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But there's something far more sweet than natural life and natural light. It's spiritual life, and it's spiritual light. Christ the life, Christ the light. He said there, it's a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun, but there's something far more pleasant than to behold the natural. S-U-N is to behold the S-O-N. The Scripture says, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Do you have a fear of God in your heart? Do you reverence God like you reverence the dead? Do you reverence God like you reverence your teacher? Like you reverence the president? Like you reverence being an authority here? We ought to give Him more reverence than anybody. We ought to tremble knowing that we're going to stand before God. We ought to tremble knowing that, Paul said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. God's not playing around. God's holy. And you can't come into His presence unholy. God's righteous, and we can't come into His presence unrighteous. And all we are is unholy and unrighteous. And God won't receive us. God won't accept us. So He says here, seek Him now. And He says, and all those that fear me, He says, I'm going to arise just like the Son of righteousness. Just like the sun outside rises in the morning. He says the sun, the S-U-N of righteousness, Christ the Lord will arise. And just like those rays go forth and they warm, He says, I'll arise with healing in my beams. Healing. He'll show you the light. He'll show you Him. He'll show you who He is. He'll show you what great things He's done for His people. Do you even care? Do you even desire to know Him? Do you even have any kind of a heart to seek God at all? This is how important it is. The thought crosses your mind, well, I can put this off. Well, why is He so being so like this about it tonight? I got tomorrow. God is so adamant to tell you that not to count on tomorrow that He says, seek Him today. Seek Him today. The time is short, and your time is short. And it's so short that God says, don't count on tomorrow. He says, now is the day of salvation. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. How long does that vapor last when you walk out in the cold and you breathe and you see it? Quick as you see it, it's gone. He says, that's our life. That's our life. God commands us to take advantage of the time. He says in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That means take advantage of the time. Take advantage of the time God's given you. Take advantage of the time by seriously seeking the truth of God's Word. By seriously seeking Christ. Not once. Not going, well, I sought Him and I had this fuzzy feeling and I confessed Him in believer's baptism and now I've got that over with. No, seek Him every day. Seek Him constantly. All your life. Seek Him. Are you going to waste your life in a pursuit of fool's gold? Or will you seek the unsearchable riches of Christ? You have a life to live. You have a death to die, you have a judgment to face, and you have an eternity to spend. How are you going to use this time? How are we going to use this time? Our Savior said, what is a man
profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. One of the saddest things there is to see, and you see this when you preach the gospel, one of the saddest things to see young people who are given great advantage waste the advantage they've been given. God's given you great privileges. You've got the gospel preached to you in spirit and in truth. Do you know there are a majority of people on this earth that do not have that? God's given you a faithful church, a body of believers that are more than willing to help any of you anytime you need it with any question about these scriptures or anything else they can help you with. Some have believing parents. Some of you got believing brothers or sisters or other family members. And you have the Word of God. You can pick this Word up and you can follow along and read the Word of God as the gospel is being preached. You can go home. You don't have to hide it. You don't have to worry that the police are going to stop you and cart you off to jail because you live in some communist country that doesn't want you to have the Word of God. You can freely go home and read this Word and search the Scriptures. And yet, with all these advantages, you stop up your ears, close your eyes, and throw the book on the shelf and just don't pay it any attention whatsoever. But spend great amount of energy to try to become better athletes and to try to become better workers and to become better professionals and to become better all these other things. Do you see why he says, for all this, God will bring you into judgment? Do you see why this is? God commands you, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Do you know what it means for God to be your Creator? You know what that means? It means He made you. You didn't make yourself. It means He sustains you. He gives you life. Take a breath. God gave you that. Bat your eye. God gave you the strength to do that. You'd be a raving maniac if God took good sense away from you. And He can. Everything you have, God gave it to you. He's our Lord and our owner, rightfully so. And therefore, we're under obligation to serve Him and worship Him. This is not an option. Men walking around, little haughty, arrogant pissants walking around here talking about, well, I believe this guy. It's not an option. It's not an option. We're under obligation to believe God. We're under obligation to worship God. If you won't heed that word, you're directly looking God in the eye and saying, no, God. It's screaming in God's face. It's defying God. It's saying to God, I will not have you to be God. Can you imagine being hooked up on a machine in a hospital so near death that the only thing keeping you alive is that machine and those doctors that are doing everything that's necessary to keep you alive and you screaming at the doctors and telling them how you hate them and how you don't want to see them walk in that room and how you got bigger and better things to do than to look at them? This is what the Scripture says. Not only did God create this world, He upholds it. Everything about it. Let me try to give you an idea of why you're here. Let me try to put this in simplest terms I can, why you're here. This word creator here is plural. It means creators. It means remember now thy creators in the days of thy youth. Creators, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. God the Father created His people in eternity when He chose whom He would in Christ, not based on any good or evil in us, but chose to redeem us from our sins and gave us to His Son. God the Father created His people right then. And then the triune God in Christ, Christ created this whole world. The heavens and the earth. The Scripture says, by Him were all things created. that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. For Him. That's the reason. For Him. And He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. Man was created after the image of our creators. God said, let us, our creators, create man after our image. Let me ask you something. How was man created after the image of God who is invisible? Because he was created after the image of Christ and that body and that person that Christ would have when he came into this earth. And because Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, he was created after the image of God. Did you understand that? Did you get that? He was created after the image of Christ. Man was. After that image of Christ, as in a body, as he would be. That's why man was given a body. It wasn't that God gave Christ a body because man was given a body. He gave man a body because he would give Christ a body. Christ is first in everything. And because Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, therefore man was made in the image of our creators when he was made after the image of Christ. And then, so he's made man. Then the triune God, our creators, allowed sin to enter in. He allowed Satan to enter the garden and allowed us to fall in Adam. That was not by accident. God did that for this reason. To bring glory to His name in the salvation of His people from our sins through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. God did this for His glory. He created this world for Him, and He allowed us to fall in sin for Him. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, in time, He came and He created His people through redemption when He laid down His life at Calvary and put away our sins and made us the righteousness of God in Him. And then God the Holy Spirit creates His people when He creates a new man within us in righteousness and true holiness and brings us to faith in Christ. And when He does that, that's when you have true light and true life, Christ the light and Christ the life. That's when you behold how pleasant it is to walk in beholding the light of the S-O-N. That's when you find that what's sweet and pleasant. And until then, you don't have a clue. You don't even know what life's about. Give a man a huge mansion. Give him a yacht sitting out somewhere on the ocean. Give him some frou-frou food on some fancy napkin, and he thinks, oh, I've got it. This is sweet and this is pleasant. That's hell without Christ. A man that has nothing, that lives at the bottom of the hill and cleans that man's bathroom and his underwear for him and shines his shoes and has Christ, that man's got everything. He knows what's sweet and pleasant. And then, so you have your creators. God the Father created His people in divine election. God the Son created His people by His redemption. And God the Holy Spirit creates His people by regeneration. So, where does that leave you? You that don't know Christ. God even created you. Just your natural body. The first time you were conceived in your mother's womb and came forth, God created you. And you know why He did it? He did it for the same reason He creates His people. Same reason. He did it so that He might give His Son all preeminence in all things. That's why He did it. So here you are. Now you're in this great grand creation that God has made all around us. Now listen carefully. I'm fixing to bring this home to you right where you are. Here you are in this grand creation God's made. This stage God has created that where He would work out this great salvation and reveal who He is, who His person is in His Son, and how His glory in His Son, and show what great things He's done for His people in His Son. Here's this great stage. And if you live for this earthly life, and for this earthy S-U-N, and just for the natural light and the natural life, you know what it's like? It's like walking into a grand theater where there's a show that's going to be played out with this famous character,
And it's all there. It's the greatest show that could ever be written. And you walk in, and you're looking at the spotlight, and you're looking at the stage props, and you're looking at the stage, and you're looking at the curtains, and you're looking at all of those things, and you never even pay attention to the main attraction. You never even see what all that is there for. You miss the whole thing. That's what's going to happen if you pass through this whole life and you never seek God. You never seek Christ. But I want you to know this for sure, in assurance, and this is what the Scripture is telling us. For all these things, though you wouldn't heed this word, for all these things, you're still going to bring Christ all preeminence. Everybody that walks this earth is going to. We're either going to do it by God's grace when we bow and confess Christ to be Lord and cast all our care into His hands and trust Him to save us from us. Or we're going to do it in justice one day, in judgment, when we stand before God, before Christ Himself, and He judges us and then casts us out into outer darkness. Either way, in mercy or justice, we're going to bring preeminence to Christ. And in that day, the Scripture says, when the host of rebels have been cast out into outer darkness, we're going to know God so fully in that day and know what true righteousness is in that day so fully, we're going to clap and applaud and declare God's glory for casting them out into outer darkness. Can you imagine that? That's knowing what righteousness is. That's knowing what true justice is. God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How sure am I of that? God said, I've sworn by myself, the word's gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. If God has promised it by Himself, it shall come to pass. Why aren't you trembling? Why aren't you under your seat right now? Because you think you got tomorrow. God said when that day comes, you'll be under the seat. You'll be under the seat. You see, our whole duty to our Creator is fulfilled by us when we fear God and we believe on His Son. Our whole duty is fulfilled. Look at Ecclesiastes 12:13, and I'll finish. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Sinner, fear God, because you shall come into judgment. Every secret thing, whether good or evil, shall be judged. What that's telling you and me is this. Don't try to fake God out. You can fake me out. You can fake mom and dad out. You can fake out others. Don't try to fake God out. Because fear God. Reverence God. Know that God's going to judge the secret thing. Every work, good or evil. You picture some balances. And this is what men are taught all their life. Well, all my goods, God's going to put on this side. And all my evil, God's going to put on that side. And hopefully my good will outweigh my evil. God's going to put all your good on one side and God's going to put all your evil on the same side. And the one that's going to be standing on the other side is Christ our righteousness, by whom this world's going to be judged. And if you meet God that way, He's going to say, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. That's certain. So fear God. And then He says, and keep His commandments. Turn to John chapter 6. Now you can't do that yourself. You and me were guilty the moment we were conceived because we broke God's law in the garden. How then are we going to keep God's commandments? There's one commandment God's given that we're going to keep. And that one commandment, God gives us the grace to keep it. And this is it right here. This is it. John 6:28. Then said they unto Him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. You see, Christ fulfilled all righteousness for His people. And the way that righteousness is made, our righteousness is through faith in Him. God says, when you believe on Christ, God says He's a righteous man. He's fulfilled my whole law. Every bit of it. This is the commandment, John said, that you believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. That's one commandment. That's the one His people shall do. That's the one He shall do. So the whole duty of man toward our God, our triune God, our creators, is to fear God and believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation is only by the doing and dying of the Lord Jesus. So the only way God's going to receive you, the only way He's going to receive me, is for us to come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Christ, believing on Christ. Come to Christ, confessing that you and everything about you deserves nothing but eternal damnation. Come to Christ, confessing you need mercy. Come to Christ, casting all your care into His hand. Like those that said, if we die, we're going to die in His hand, but we're going to Him. Go to Him and cast all your care into His hand. That's how God will receive His people. And God promises, you come forsaking yourself, and God will show you mercy. Because if you can come forsaking yourself, God's already showed you mercy. He's already drawn you to Himself. When is the time to do this? Read our text. Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now. Today is the day of salvation. And listen to me. You know what tomorrow's going to be? Tomorrow's going to be today. When it gets here, tomorrow's going to be today. You know what time that's going to be? Now is the time to seek Him. You know what the next day's going to be? It's going to be now. It's going to be today. It's going to be the time to seek Him. Seek Him now. Right now. Whatever hour it is, seek Him now. From here on. Amen.